This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and Talkspace, the leading virtual therapy provider, is encouraging people to talk it out in therapy. By talking or texting with a supportive, licensed therapist at Talkspace, you'll gain insights, discover truths, and experience breakthroughs that will improve how you live and how you feel. With Talkspace, just answer a few questions online, and you'll be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, whenever you feel most at ease. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members only pay a $25 copay or less. No insurance? No problem. If you want to make progress toward a mentally healthier place, Talkspace is here for you. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hello, America. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here across the nation. The phone number is 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, I am delighted to have you. As always, if you text the word Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777, you can get access to everything we do around here. You can get the live stream. You can get the podcast. The very top link is my daily email. You can click that. You can get all the social media stuff. We got a lot to offer around here so that you can keep in touch in various ways. Now, I want to talk about what is become the biggest story of the day. The president's team has not said anything publicly thus far, but they have done something that is bad. Axios got the scoop. Other media outlets have now followed up on this. The Biden administration last week put a hold on a shipment of U.S.-made ammunition to Israel. Two Israeli officials said. It's the first time since October 7th the U.S. has stopped a weapons shipment intended for the Israeli military, and the incident raises serious concerns inside the Israeli government and sent officials scrambling to understand why the shipment was held. President Biden is facing sharp criticism among Americans who oppose the support of Israel. The administration in February asked Israel to provide assurances that U.S.-made weapons were being used by IDF in accordance with international law, and Israel provided a signed letter of assurances. The White House has declined comment. The Pentagon, the State Department, and the Israeli Prime Minister didn't immediately respond to questions. It was a choice made by the Israeli government to leak this. It's a very important choice that you have to understand was made to leak this. Now, why is it an important choice to leak it? It's an important choice because it's signaling to the American Congress right now that they're not getting all of the information out of the American government as to what's happening. Last Wednesday, Blinken was in Israel and says he had a tough conversation about Netanyahu regarding an entryway into Rafah. The Israeli government and the Israeli people want to go into Rafah and take out Hamas. Something that gets missed in the conversation here in this country is just how angry the Israelis still are about what has happened. The Israelis are fairly unified in their anger. And in fact, to the extent there have been protests in Israel, many of the protests, unreported by the media in this country, have actually been in favor of a bigger action in Rafah and a quicker action in Rafah to get the hostages out. And you will note, there is not exactly a big cry for support for releasing the hostages from the anti-Semites in this country. We need to put this in larger context. And I don't want to pick on Mr. Steele, who emailed me earlier. Mr. Steele, let me find his email. I politely engaged with Mr. Steele, who emailed and called me polling boy and complained that I was talking about the polling, spending too much time talking about the polling. I understand that there are polling antagonists in this audience. They don't believe the polls and don't understand why I could talk about the polls. But you should understand that people in Washington on both sides of the aisle, they pay attention to the polling. And so if you want to understand what's happening, you got to understand the polling. Because Washington is not about, as Mr. Steele suggested, elections and public policy. It's about politics and polling and elections. And Democrats and Republicans in Washington both, whether you do or not, they believe the polling influenced the elections. Now, to an extent, Mr. Steele is right, and this is my frustration with how polling is done. Polling involves inductive reasoning, not deductive reasoning. Inductive reasoning and deductive reasoning are very different. And the easiest way to describe it for you, and it's not an accurate way, but it's an easy way, is reason versus emotion. To deduce something is to follow a plan of action to get to the root cause or something of something. Inductive reasoning, you're feeling your way through it. And polling is very feely. That's why it's not always accurate, but the trend lines tend to be. When you interview the same 1,000 people or a very similar set of 1,000 people over and over and over again, and their opinions shift, well, you get a sense that maybe the bottom line number isn't wrong. We can't deduce what the actual percentage is, but we can tell where this demographically diverse group of people are headed, and therefore we can actually conclude statistically that other like-minded people are headed in the same direction. The problem is that polling is supposed to be used to tell leaders how to lead. You want to do something, polling is supposed to figure out what emotional appeal will cause people to go in your direction. That's not the way the polling works anymore in Washington, D.C., and that's the problem, is in Washington, they poll to figure out where people are and the politicians head in that direction. It's not about leading, it's about being led. At least that's how it's being used by Joe Biden. Not every politician does this. Joe Biden does. Joe Biden is led by the polling. So the polling within the Democratic Party for the Democratic nomination for president and elsewhere has shown Joe Biden he has a problem with the voters in the Democratic Party when it comes to Israel, because the Democratic Party base is deeply anti-Semitic at this point. Joe Biden wants their votes. He doesn't want to lose them. It's going to be a narrow field. We'll get into the narrowness of the election at the bottom of the hour. But Joe Biden feels like he needs to hold this core group of anti-Semites in order to win the election. These people hate Israel. He's got to get a bunch of Israel haters who perversely call the other side Nazis in order to win re-election. It's not good. It's not stable. But it's where Joe Biden is. The result of this is the Biden administration reshaping policy in the Middle East to placate a minority of Democratic voters. Let's go back to the actual data. What the actual data shows us is that a majority of Americans do favor a ceasefire, just like the anti-Semites, but a majority of Americans only favor a ceasefire if the hostages are released. What the Biden administration has interpreted the data to mean poorly is that the Americans want a ceasefire for the sake of a ceasefire. And the college campus protesters and a lot of the Democratic Party donors who are anti-Semitic, they just want a ceasefire for the sake of a ceasefire. They don't care about Israel. They hate Israel. They like Hamas. They won't say it, but they like Hamas. And the Biden administration has shifted its priorities to placate to those people, and those people are actually out of touch with the American public, which is how incompetently the Biden administration is handling this. Now, I say all this, and there's some breaking news. It has just hit the wire from Yeshiva World News. A senior Hamas source has told Al Jazeera The terror group has informed Qatari and Egyptian negotiators it has agreed to their proposal for a ceasefire. The terror group has now issued an official proclamation. The chairman of the Political Bureau of Hamas has called the Prime Minister of Qatar and the Egyptian Minister of Intelligence and informed them Hamas accepts their proposal for a ceasefire. On Monday morning, that would have been Sunday night our time, an Egyptian official told Arab language media outlets that the Hamas attack on the Kerem Shalom crossing on Sunday had stymied hostage release talks. 4 IDF soldiers were killed in the attacks and 10 soldiers were wounded. The source said that Israel, or rather Egypt, is engaging in efforts to overcome the hurdle. Can News reports that Israel informed Egypt ahead of the start of evacuations of Gaza citizens of parts of Rafah on Monday morning. Israeli security officials told Egypt the evacuation is taking place in the eastern neighborhood of the city close to the Israeli border. Military operations will be a limited one. So what's going on here? A care convoy along an evacuation route into Egypt was attacked by Hamas. Israel then went into full FAFO mode and decided to begin the invasion of Rafah. Hamas badly calculated yet again that if it stopped people from evacuating Rafah and used them as human shields, Israel would not invade Rafah. Remember, Hamas has already admitted it did not think Israel would engage the way it has engaged after October 7th. Hamas has bombed the American pier. Remember, Joe Biden said we were going to deploy forces to build a pier for humanitarian relief. Hamas has attacked the pier and the people working on the pier. Hamas has now attacked the people evacuating into Egypt and a relief convoy coming in from Egypt, killing 4 IDF soldiers in the process. Hamas rejected the deal, and Israel said, okay, if you're rejecting the deal and you're bombing the relief convoy, we're going to invade. And now Hamas is like, all right, oh, we misread the whole situation. We'll take the deal now. This is what we're dealing with. Hamas needs to be destroyed. But now Hamas is taking a peace deal. And the only reason it's taking the peace deal is because Israel has decided it's time to engage. Joe Biden has failed. Joe Biden's failed. Joe Biden has picked the side of the anti-Semites to try to win re-election. He has stymied updates. He has just, I mean, the whole thing has gotten out of his hands. Anthony Blinken is impotent. He should resign. I suspect if somehow Joe Biden's able to get a re-election, Blinken will go out the door. You know what's funny here, though? Is I actually have the sneaking suspicion that if Joe Biden gets reelected, he'll get reelected and turn his back on all these people he's coddling right now because he kind of resents it. Now, just hear me out here. I think his natural impulse would be loyal to these people, but Joe Biden's hated these people forever. Joe Biden has been wrong on every foreign policy decision of the last 50 years, but Joe Biden has actually been, until recently, not terrible on Israel. He's not been good, but he's been more Bill Clinton than Barack Obama. He's only now moved towards Barack Obama's position because he needs those people to get reelected. And I think after the reelection, he's unaccountable to any of them, and he'll go back to being more Bill Clinton than Barack Obama and stab him in the back. But I don't want to take the risk and find out because he's so terrible right now. I mean, this stuff really does matter, y'all. Joe Biden has sold out Israel to placate the angriest anti-Semites in America. And we shouldn't have to wait to see if he stabs them in the back after re-election because right now he's coddling them and he should be punished at the polls for daring to coddle them right now in a craving bit of politics to try to get himself re-elected. Joe Biden's administration needs to come to an end in November. And your election is going to matter, and it's going to come down to 6% of the population of registered voters of 6 states. And I'll fill you in on that data at the bottom of this hour. Hello, welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, 877-973-7425. Let's go to Jim in Orlando. Welcome to the show. Jim, how are you?
I'm doing great, Eric. How are you?
Great.
So, hey, I got a question for you because I'm really curious of your take. At what point does misinformation become so detrimental to, say, society and the world that governments might cease to function properly?
Oh, that's an intriguing one, and I wonder if we're on the verge of some of that right now. I think that it becomes a problem over time when the press itself is so engaged in it that the people no longer believe the press, which is kind of where we're at. So, for example, I just saw a news story. Jim, this is kind of timely that you called in on this. Just saw a news story on the Drudge Report, which I know people on the right don't look at it as much anymore, but as a news aggregator, still fairly useful for random stories. And there's a story out there about AI predicts the future of the British monarchy. What we've seen over the last 5 years is news cycles, and we still see them, that are premised on angry anonymous trolls on Twitter who have very limited followings, but they get outraged about something and they all chatter about it. And the news media runs a story that people say, people are upset about, people have reacted to Taylor Swift like blah, 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 blah. And no, it's your news story is premised on some anonymous people on Twitter being upset. And now this story on Drudge, the AI predicts the future. That we've now seen a series of media stories on what AI predicts. They're not telling us actual news stories anymore. A lot of it is misinformation, disinformation. Think about the media running with the Christopher Steele dossier about Trump, which was planted by Democrats. We know it wasn't true, and they haven't walked it back. The problem with misinformation and disinformation is not so much the misinformation and the disinformation. The problem with it is when the media picks and chooses which made-up false stories to run with, and inevitably it has a partisan bent. And so people stop trusting the media to tell us what actually is real and happening. The media has a role in our society, and that really is to investigate the powerful and expose corruption and to tell us what's going on in the world. Except the media doesn't do any of that anymore. It only wants to expose perceived corruption from Republicans, not Democrats, covers up actual corruption from Democrats. And also, the media wants to pick winners and losers just like the government does. And because the media has gotten corrupted and fails, it has begun to degrade trust in society. The media has a real role, and it has given up that role to play protector of the Democrats. Now, I want to protect your business with Stamps.com. You can save money on shipping. Stamps.com is phenomenal. Stamps.com allows you to ship and save money on packages. It's great at what it does. Stamps.com can give you discounts. All you have to do is go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, put in Eric, E-R-I-C-K, and my friends, you can save up to 89% off post office UPS rates. You can arrange shipping of your products to your home or office, from your home or office. They'll come pick it up from you and they'll take it. You never have to go stand in line. If you go to stamps.com and you click on the microphone, you put in Eric Nell, they'll send you a free digital scale. They'll send you some postage and you never have a long-term contract to sign because stamps.com makes it easy for your business to do business. Stamps.com, click the microphone, put in Eric, E-R-I-C-K. You get shipping and saving today. You never have to stand in line. You can even get your shipping supplies from them. The boxes, the bubble wrap, the paper, the postage, whatever you need, the labels as well. And you just need your computer or a phone and a printer. And away you go. Stamps.com, click the mic, put in Eric, E-R-I-C-K, get the digital scale, the postage, save today with no long-term commitment. Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number, should you wish to be on the program, is 877-973-7425. Let me run to the phones here and take Pierce's phone call. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, Eric. How are you doing?
Great.
Hey, I've been thinking about, I read this article in through the weekend on Politico, and there's a couple of groups that's been funding these protests, but those groups have actually been funded by the Gates Foundation, Soros, and the Rockefeller Foundation. I'm thinking if I'm one of the students who lost my right to a commencement, why couldn't they come together and file a class action lawsuit against the ones funding these protests for the loss of their commencement ceremony and their time in the sun? Because this will be the second time they've lost their graduation in the last 4 years.
Look, I honestly would be tempted to say they should, but just knowing the way the law works on this, the protesters themselves are being funded by outside groups that are being funded by these donors, and the outside groups are funding the organizations funding the protesters causing the disruption. So because they're 2 degrees removed from the protesters, they are not really legally liable per se for what would happen. I wish someone would try it. I personally think the discovery process would be interesting.
Well, what about suing the institution yourself? You've had all this money invested there in whatever, whether it's student loans or you paid cash to go through these 4 years. Why not sue the institution for not finding a secure place to do it? They got nice, big, fat billion-dollar endowments sitting around.
1,000,000,000%, I think they should sue their colleges for depriving them of a graduation ceremony because, let's be honest here, it is the colleges themselves that have made a choice to coddle the protesters and to now deny the students their ability to graduate. It 100%.
I think there should be a suit. Contract.
Yeah, listen, they overwhelmed campuses. They overwhelmed the campuses. Yeah. They degraded the ability of students to be able to go to class. They failed to keep them safe because they tried to humor these people. Yeah, I absolutely think that there's a lawsuit that is involved here, that there should be a lawsuit. I would be interested to see if somebody steps forward and does try to file a lawsuit. I think they should. It's ridiculous. Now, what is also ridiculous here is something I've been telling you was going to be the case, and the numbers have been run. So I don't mean to rely on Axios, particularly because it's a left-wing publication these days, but that actually this is a useful bit of information. I've been telling you this was going to be the case. Already the expectations are a low turnout election for November. Now, why? This is kind of important to understand. I got to do this even with myself. Sometimes you've got to remind yourself that even though you think you're right, you're in the minority. A lot of you listening, because you're talk radio listeners, you're excited about the election. You want to go throw out Joe Biden. But ordinary Americans, they don't like their choices. So there is a lot of data coming out now, interviews with Americans around the country. And again, you can say, well, it's all wrong. But when every interview pool of 1,000 people comes out and shows the same thing, people who vote in the general election, but they're not hardcore Democrats or Republicans, they're not excited. And some of them are saying they'll go vote and they'll skip the presidential ballot, or some of them are saying they're just not going to go vote. Here's the data. Roughly 244 million Americans are going to be eligible to vote. But 99.5% won't be deciders because either they're not going to vote, or they vote the same way, or they live in states virtually certain to be a red state or a blue state. There are 6 states that are going to matter: Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. North Carolina is not going to matter. It's going to go for Donald Trump. These were the battlegrounds disputed after the 2020 election, and they are the toss-ups. North Carolina leans Republican. Other 43 states are likely or solid for one or the other, but North Carolina is not expected to be a swing state. Remember, the North Carolina GOP chairman's now the chairman of the Republican National Committee. He knows how to win North Carolina. Democrats are more worried about November than Republicans. Democrats think the race is winnable. Republicans think they're winning. And the swing states, a big reason why. Joe Biden is 2 points ahead in Michigan, and Trump is ahead or tied in every other one of those swing states. He has a 6-point lead across the 7 states polled. That includes North Carolina. And Trump is talking to that 6% of persuadable voters on immigration, crime, and inflation. This is the thing that Democrats have to understand here. And it's also what we need to understand. Why do the Democrats, one of the top issues in this country right now are immigration, crime, and inflation. Those are the top three issues in this country right now for swing voters. And the Democrats are only talking about democracy is at stake and abortion. Why? For the people who regularly complain about me talking about the polling, this is a polls-based decision by both campaigns. You may not like the polls again, but the campaigns pay attention, and it matters to the campaigns. There's a reason the Democrats are talking about abortion and democracy is at stake. Because among the voters most likely to vote, among likely voters, Joe Biden is winning. And who are those voters? Those voters are white, upper-income voters who hate Donald Trump. And they are pro-abortion, and they believe Donald Trump's a threat to democracy. They listen to NPR. They watch CNN and MSNBC. They read the New York Times and the big newspapers in the country. They live in suburbs. They're wealthy. They're white. They're liberally social. They're socially liberal. They don't like Joe Biden's fiscal policies, but they despise Donald Trump, and they're the most likely voters to vote. So Joe Biden is talking to them about abortion and the end of democracy because that fires up those voters. But there's a problem for the Democrats in this too. While those voters are the most likely to vote and Joe Biden is winning among them in some polls by up to 6%, the reality is that in a presidential election, a lot of other voters vote too. Those are the swing voters. And Donald Trump is talking to them about their issues because their issues are not abortion. They're pro-choice, but abortion's not what gets them fired up. They support our democracy, but the democracy is not what gets them fired up. What gets them fired up is their safety and their 401k. And Donald Trump's talking about that. Let me just read you some of this from Axios. The Trump campaign is talking to the 6% of persuadable voters in this country when it hammers immigration, crime, and inflation. And Biden is talking to them when he emphasizes abortion, democracy, and stability. Biden's winning margins in the six swing states in 2020 totaled over just 300,000 votes of 158 million votes cast for president nationwide. The Washington Post found that the winner could have changed by flipping just over 81,000 votes in four states, Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, and Georgia. We perked up our ears when we heard a Biden insider use the 6% of six states formulation as a proxy for how narrow a group of voters are considered truly in play. Swing voters in swing states. Republicans are making a similar calculation. A Trump insider told us that persuadable voters are below 10% in every battleground. I think it's 6% in Wisconsin, 8% in Michigan, lower than 6% in Arizona. Education now transcends race as the best predictor of voting. People are increasingly choosing to live around others who share their values and beliefs, which has led to a homogenization in how communities vote. Some Republicans think Minnesota is flippable. Some Democrats think Florida is flippable. The reality is that neither is really in play. And Donald Trump just needs to pick off one Midwestern state that he lost in 2020, Wisconsin, Michigan, or Pennsylvania. My guess is that Donald Trump is more likely to flip Michigan or Pennsylvania than Wisconsin. But my guess is that Donald Trump right now is ahead. The voters most likely to vote are going to vote Joe Biden because they hate Donald Trump. But Donald Trump can get the swing voters by talking about immigration, the economy, and crime, the three biggest issues for voters. Those issues dominate. If he stays on that message, if Donald Trump just stays on message, Donald Trump's got a winning message. He's got to stay on message. And you know what's so ironic here? This is the thing that I think the Democrats miss. Their strategy was to keep Donald Trump bogged down in court to bleed him dry. But keeping Donald Trump in court has forced Donald Trump to be a more disciplined manager. Look at, I played this audio earlier, but I want to do this again. This is Donald Trump headed into the courtroom this morning in New York.
Now, it just came out, Columbia just canceled their commencement. Axios. Columbia just canceled their commencement. That shouldn't happen. And it also came out that the protesters, many of the protesters, are backed by Biden's donors. Okay? Are you listening, Israel? I hope you're listening, Israel. Hope you're getting smart. But they're backed by Biden donors. That's where the money's coming from. And I'm not surprised at all.
So Donald Trump has a limited amount of time to make a case because he's got to go into court. So what does he hone in on? Columbia students can't go to graduation because they canceled it because of the protesters who were funded by Joe Biden's donors. And also, Joe Biden is canceling ammunition for Israel. Okay, goodbye. I got to go into court. That's a hell of a disciplined message for a man like Donald Trump who goes off message and talks for 3 hours. The Democrats, by keeping Donald Trump tied up in court, have made him more efficient at getting his message out, have made him more efficient at campaigning. And guess what? Donald Trump's heading the polls by keeping him tied up in court. They've messed themselves up. It's fantastic to watch the Democrats have thrown Brer Rabbit into the briar bush. They did this to themselves. And I want you to go back to something that Axios, which is a left-wing news outlet at this point, they're always the first to grab hold of the new woke words, from pregnant person to unhoused. Axios has become a left-wing site. According to Democrats, they believe the race is winnable. According to Republicans, they believe they are winning. Both sides are right. Hillsdale College would like you to subscribe to Imprimis. They want to give it to you for free. When's the last time you've been offered something like free with no strings attached? And I can tell you, there are no strings attached because I've been a subscriber of Imprimis since I was in law school. You go to ericforhillsdale.com today and you put in your address, you start getting Imprimis. Imprimis is a publication of Hillsdale College, part of their education mission. And every month you get the thoughts of the great conservative leaders of this country, either through their speeches at Hillsdale or their writing submitted to Hillsdale. It's well edited. It is small. It gets you thinking. It's a great way to engage with the content coming out of Hillsdale College. You go to ericforhillsdale.com, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com. You sign up with Hillsdale College, and Hillsdale College will send this to your mailbox. You will never pay a penny for it. Never. You will never pay a penny for it. I have been getting it since law school. I've never paid a penny for it. But it's a great way to engage with the content from Hillsdale. It's part of Hillsdale's education mission. You go to ericforhillsdale.com today, E-R-I-C-K, ericforhillsdale.com. Sign up with Hillsdale College. Get Imprimis for free in your mailbox. You can think the big thoughts and read the big thoughts of the conservative movement, brought to you by Hillsdale College. Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here. I think I can squeeze in John's call real quick here. John, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, doing good. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Yeah, over the weekend, I've heard lots of folks be critical of Donald Trump's selection process where, you know, we kind of is having these tryouts. But I actually think it's working, as we saw with Kristi Noem. And what I think it's working is that the media these days is very intrusive. They go back a long ways, and they're very obnoxious. And just like we saw with Kristi Noem and the dog thing, last thing you want is for that to come out right at the convention. So I'm kind of positive on Trump putting people out like this. It's kind of like having a sort of a second primary, letting people respond to each of these folks. And especially when one considers that in the past, people like Quayle, Palin, even Tim Kaine, I don't think they would have lasted. So
it's kind of the Trump version of Hunger Games. Yeah, but you know, you're right. Yes. But by having them out there, seeing who on live on TV, unscripted, unprepared, or as prepared as they can be, who's the best surrogate for Trump right now? I think it works. How do they come across on TV? Trump pays attention to how people look on TV because he knows the American people pay attention to TV. And so you get these guys on TV. How do they look on TV? How do they react to the reporters on TV? What do you take away from them when they're off the air? All of that matters. And again, I think, and I recognize my biases here, I think Scott comes across great. Doug Burgum comes across as a seasoned statesman, which I don't think Trump needs because he's already been president of the United States. I don't know that Marco comes across on TV as well as he has done in the past. Kristi Noem just looks kind of on the defense because of her stupid book. But and Vance has not done a lot of the Dog and Pony Show TV stuff. I don't know that he's actually on the list, even as people have said he is. It does seem to me that Burgum and Scott are probably the guys he's looking at. Maybe J.D. Vance as well, if the reporting is to be believed on this. And they all come across well on television. Here's the thing, though. You're going to win South Carolina. You're going to win North Dakota. You're going to win Ohio. So those three don't bring you their states. So what other constituent parts do they bring? Well, Doug Burgum doesn't bring a constituent part, but he brings money. J.D. Vance brings a group of people who are already going to vote for Donald Trump. Tim Scott brings young black men who are upbeat on this country, who are a growing demographic for the GOP. In fact, there is data right now from USA Today that Biden and Donald Trump are tied 37-37 as Hispanic, black, and younger voters shift. Black voters, particularly younger black men, are shifting to the GOP, particularly because of Donald Trump. You bring a guy like Tim Scott in, and he can connect with those guys better than a lot of others, which opens the door for Donald Trump to grow a constituency he otherwise doesn't have. And Scott's been out there and vetted so much, no one's laid a finger on him. It matters. So that's my biases. I'm prepared to be wrong there, but I think he's looking at Burgum because of money and Scott because of he is a great surrogate for Trump on the stage. Now, what's also great is the Omaha Steaks Burger Perfection Flight. Y'all can go get this at omahasteaks.com. For less than $80, you go to omahasteaks.com. You'll see the Burger Perfection Flight. In fact, I want to do this for you so I can get the list here. So omahasteaks.com, you'll see the Burger Perfection Flight. For $79, you get 4 Pure Ground Filet Mignon Burgers, 4 Pure Ground New York Strip Burgers, 4 Pure Ground Ribeye Burgers, 4 Pure Ground Sirloin Burgers, 4 Pure Ground Brisket Burgers. You get their 100% satisfaction guarantee, and you get Omaha Steaks seasoning with it. These burgers are fantastic. $79.99 at omahasteaks.com. It is a very limited time. They did want me to emphasize that because they're taking their steaks, their aged steaks, no less, and they're turning them into burgers, this is a limited selection. But right now you can go get these. You get an incredible selection of fantastic burgers. Try them with your friends. Grill out the different ones. See what you like best. It's what I did as well. OmahaSteaks.com, the Burger Perfection Flight.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.